Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week in our gospel reading, we are still sitting at Jesus' feet. As in Luke's gospel, Jesus continues his sermon on the plain, on the level place. Last week in our gospel, we heard Jesus give us another set of beatitudes. These beatitudes in Luke were talking to those specifically who were poor and hungry, not just poor in spirit and hungering for righteousness. Jesus is talking to those without, or to those who only have some, because Jesus is proclaiming blessings on all people, but he is emphasizing the blessings for the ones that the world believes, or the world would term cast out, left behind. Jesus is reminding us of the presence and the love of God that comes even when we are poor and hungry, when we mourn and when we weep. Now, it is true that the blessings of God and the presence of God are with us when we have enough and when we find delight and laughter as well. But Jesus also gives warning to those who are comfortable. Jesus wants us to be careful. And Jesus wants us to remember our neighbors. And finally, Jesus wants us to remember that it is from God that all blessings flow. Now, the truth is that we can debate amongst ourselves whether we should hear the blessings or the curses. Are we among the poor and the hungry, or do we have enough and maybe then some? In today's gospel reading, Jesus just ignores those debates altogether. Because in truth, Jesus wants us to hear both the blessings and the warnings. So today, Jesus again turns up the gas just a little bit and says that if we want to live as God's children, if we want to follow him, we need to love our enemies. It is true that whether we are rich or poor can depend on lots of different small little things, but we have all had an enemy. We have all had someone that we own. It's not that we just don't like them, we despise them. When we think of these enemies, at best we can imagine walking on the other side of the road to avoid them. But Jesus wants us to love them. Love them. Now, truth be told, not even Jesus can make me like my enemy. But that doesn't bother Jesus, because he wants us to love them instead. Jesus wants us to love our enemies like God loves us. Jesus is pointing to that unconditional, sacrificial love of God that reaches to us in our low moments with care, with relief, with rest and help. That is what Jesus wants from us, for our enemies, as well as the rest of our neighbors. Jesus also tells us that that transactional sort of bargaining style of love that we typically use is not the love that Jesus is showing us or that God is sharing. It's not an if-then transaction. If you do this, then I will love you. Love that Jesus shows is an unconditional love, even for our enemies. As Jesus is teaching here in this Sermon on the Plain, we can all of us, intellectually at least, recognize the power of do to others as you would have them do to you. But can we see that for enemies? Because this is where Jesus is leading us. He wants us to recognize that there are times when we are God's enemy, when we are rebellious and cantankerous, and God loves us anyway. There are times when we have nothing to put into any kind of transaction, and God still stands by us with comfort and strength, with patience and peace, with the love that only comes from God. And Jesus is hoping that we can see it and give it a try. Today we also have, from our reading in Genesis, an example of what this thing that Jesus is trying to teach us looks like. We get this example from Joseph and his brothers, because if you remember the story in Genesis, Joseph was the favored son of Judah. No, not of Judah, of Jacob. Got to get the names right. If you don't get the names right, then all of a sudden, right? So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and Joseph was one of those 12 sons. But Joseph was Jacob's all-time favorite son, right? As a parent, whichever kid is in the room with me, I think, is my favorite, you know. But Joseph was the favorite. Joseph got all of the gifts. Joseph got all of the good stuff. Joseph had all of those kinds of things. So Joseph kind of turned into a little turd. He would have dreams about, you know, oh, you know, we were all sheaves of wheat, and all of your sheaves were bowing to me. We were all the sun, moon, and stars, and all of your stars were bowing down to me. Joseph rubbed his favoritism in his brother's nose, and they didn't like him. In fact, they hated him. They hated him so much that when Joseph went out to go talk to them one day, they beat him up, and they stuck him in a hole, and they were going to leave him there to die. Until slave traders came by and they thought, we can make some money off of them. And so they sold Joseph into slavery, figuring that he was going to die, whether on the way or in Egypt. Joseph eventually goes to jail. But from jail, Joseph attains an authority that is second only to Pharaoh. And he's put in charge of rationing all kinds of things to try to feed not only Egypt, but other nations. And Joseph's brothers come in the middle of a famine, starving. And they come before Joseph, and they don't recognize him. And so in today's reading, after Joseph has toyed with his brothers, accused them falsely, terrified them all, now Joseph finally comes clean. Because in the moment before he speaks in our reading this morning, Joseph changes. He turns around. He repents. In that moment, Joseph loves his enemies. His brothers had wanted to kill him. Joseph knows that, and he knows that they know that also. But Joseph comes clean, and he declares, I am Joseph, your brother. Is my father still alive? Joseph gave up all the manipulations, he gave up all the terror tactics, and he reached out to those who had wished him ill. Now the brothers were aghast. They thought that if this was truly Joseph, then they were in a whole lot more trouble than they originally had thought. Because they tried to kill him. Eventually they sold him into slavery to make some money, but they had thought of him as an enemy. And now this enemy is made known to them, stands in a position of authority over them. And even if he is their brother, even if he is asking about their father, they're frightened, they're dismayed. But Joseph calls to them again and explains what happened. Joseph is willing to love his enemies, to love his brothers, because Joseph now sees the hand of God at work. They had intended evil for Joseph. And God has used it to save many, to help nations, to be a blessing. God can and will work with anyone for the good of creation, including Joseph's brothers or Joseph himself. Whatever the brothers had thought would happen, God had used the situation to save them all, to save many, including Joseph. So when Jesus encourages us to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, it's never to make doormats out of us, but rather to give an opportunity for God's grace to transform the moments. It may seem easy that Joseph loved his brothers again, but was it? We may think that no one knows how bad your enemy is, but God does. We are asked to see all the people around us as people, and to see them as we look at ourselves with the benefit of the doubt, with patience, and with hope. Jesus wants us to try all of these things, but he knows that we will fail far more often than we ever succeed. But it is the trying, it is the attempt that broadens our understanding of what love is really like. And when we fail, God loves us anyway. We are called to give the best measure we can, to strive to make God's dream work even when that work is difficult. Because God never promises easy, but God always promises blessing. God is with us as we strive to bless those who curse. God forgives us when we fail and we fall. God guides us to know that we can care and provides us with peace, with goodness, with kindness and hope. Jesus may have given us a difficult challenge to make the kingdom of God real, but Jesus always stands by us. He stays with us. And Jesus goes before us that we can truly follow Jesus as we live as children of God. Amen.